Hello and welcome to episode 352 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's this week. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, welcome back. We'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Joey.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And I'm Clarence Moy. Again, you can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Welcome back, Megan.
Thanks. It's great to be back. I missed you guys. I kept thinking of you and just, you know, all the talk. You're always in my head whenever I'm watching these movies. So
I'm sorry.
No, that's a good thing. No, I'm always thinking, what did Clarence say? What has Joey said? You know, what if, yeah. So you're always in my brain.
Well, I was stalking
kind of like
you.
Malignant. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Are
three
you stalking
little
me?
Faces. I was cyber stalking you because I was looking to see what fantastic Savannah place is she going to right now. And I'm just a little bit jealous. I love that city so much.
It's so great. Even though it was cold, I will say it was chillier than the last time I was there. I remember it being hot and it was colder this time. And there was a lot of construction on Broughton Street. Yeah, they're like doing a lot of they're just tearing up the street right now. So that made a little bit hard to, I mean, I still got my shopping done, but it made it a little bit challenging. But it was great. It's a great festival, and as you know, and it's just a lot of fun.
Excellent. So this week we're going to quickly start off with your recap of what you experienced. Film and food and interpersonal reactions, any clandestine love affairs that you had at the Savannah Film Festival. And then we're just going to spitball a couple of movies that we've seen, just keeping it very breezy. We're breezy, right? I'm being breezy right now.
What is that from?
I can't say you're being breezy. It's from Friends.
Okay, that's what I thought. Breezy. Yes. Oh, that's Monica. And when
it's
she
Monica
was saying, I'm breezy.
Message.
Yeah, from Michelle. Yeah. I know this too well. I love that.
Anyway, all right. So, and then of course, after we're done being breezy, totally not structured breeziness, we're gonna have the flash forward to the media that we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. All right, you guys ready
to
be breezy?
Good. Yeah.
All right, Megan, why don't you start?
Sure. So, yes, I was at the SCAD Savannah Film Festival last week, and I got to see Belfast and The Power of the Dog, Red Rocket. I got mistaken for Susanna Son from Red Rocket, which was exciting. So I was like, I should have just gone with it and been like, oh, yes, that's me. But that was pretty funny. But yeah, there were a lot of great movies. It ended with King Richard. I also got to see some foreign language films like The Worst Person in the World and A Hero, and some documentaries like Becoming Cousteau, The Rescue, Flea, The First Wave. And yeah, it was a great festival. And I also got to be on the red carpet and talk to like Kenneth Branagh, Adrian Brody, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Mike Mills. Oh, I got to see Come On, too. It's funny, like seeing people's, you know, you're seeing real time reactions to a lot of the films too, like Belfast. I think people were pretty stoked about, but I also think King Richard was another one that you were right. You guys said how it was such a crowd pleaser, and it really was. But then another one that completely surprised me was Red Rocket, which I think. It's just such a bizarre movie, but like, it's very funny. And while I'm watching it, I'm like, I don't know if I like this movie. And then by the end of it, I'm like, oh, I think I love this movie. And I would watch it again. It was really just like an interesting film, and funny too. I got to, I did some events like, they had a champagne and chocolate like party with some of the PR people, and they had rooftop parties. At the last night I was there, I got to talk to I got to see Jockey with Clifton Collins Jr., which I highly recommend. I really love that movie. And he's really good in it. And he was at the party the last night, and like some of the executive producers of the film were like, you should go over and tell him that you like it. And I'm like, okay. So I like went over. I'm like, hi, I really like your film. He was like, thanks. It was so loud outside. He was probably like, I cannot hear what you're saying, but
like anytime that you would go see like Champagne or something, I know exactly Megan would be like, oh my God.
I was like, oh my God, Champagne. Yeah, I mean, last time when I went, we did like a ghost tour. And this time they had a tour of the Savannah Studios too, which they're hoping to make like the next Paramount. Like, it's going to be pretty big. So we got to see like what they're going to be working on. We just saw a little part of it. But yeah, and then mostly I spent my time at the movie. So I got to see about 19 films in a week, which is crazy. And yeah, I just had a lot of fun. I think my favorite films, I really liked Belfast. I really liked The Lost Daughter, which completely surprised me, because I do want to talk about that with you, Clarence, because I know you were not big on that film. But then you liked Cyrano, which I was not as big on. So it's just funny to see like, and the audience reactions to some things were surprising too. Like I was surprised how much they liked Red Rocket, considering like Simon Rex was like my generation. So these were all, you know, I was like, these people, these students were born in the 2000s, you know, my God, like, but they stuck around for that.
Yeah. But don't you think that, you know, these SCAD students, they're more of the arty crowd. They're probably big fans of Sean Baker.
Oh, for sure. Films. Yes. You're probably right. But they stayed for Simon Rex's Q&A like a lot. And it was a late show, and that kind of shocked me. But yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so those were my favorites, I think. But there were so many good movies, really. I was like, it was hard not to. The Power of the Dog was really good. Like, that really surprised me too. You said that's your favorite one, you think, Clarence?
Yeah, I think right now it's my favorite film of the year. We haven't seen a lot still, which is kind of surprising, but it is my favorite film of the year so far. I just, that one blew me away. It was just, I mean, it didn't hurt to watch it, you know, a row away from Jane Campion and Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah. But, you know, it's a beautiful film, and it has a lot of surprises, has a lot of depth to it. And I was so afraid I was going to be bored by it, because I'm not a huge fan of Westerns. And I wasn't at all.
No, it kind of, well, it starts out a little bit slow, and then it just starts like, it's like just stirring. I describe it as like someone just stirring up hot, and then it's like boiling by the end of it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I enjoyed that one.
But I guess I should say, we had talked about before we recorded here that we are going to, you know, obviously get into these films in a much deeper way once Joey has had the opportunity to see them. Unfortunately, Joey hasn't been able to attend the festival due to personal commitments. So I'm sorry, Joey. We'll wait.
Stupid husband falling on a scooter. I feel like there was a couple of times where I would be telling him of like all the movies that you're seeing, and he doesn't know what they are. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. And he was like, oh my God, Megan is seeing like something, something. And I think it might've been The Power of the Dog. And then he was just like, there was one time I was driving him to work, and he was just like, he's like, are you going to have an opportunity to go to a festival soon? And I was like, I probably could have gone to a festival like now, but you know, stuff I didn't want to say, I didn't want to make him feel bad. And he was just like, why? And I was like, well, you got injured, and we need to make sure that you're able to get to a fort. And he like got really quiet. He was like, I'm sorry.
He doesn't listen to this podcast, does he?
No, I mean, he can hear my third of it downstairs when I'm just, like, screaming like an asshole.
Is he going to be listening tomorrow and being like, he didn't tell me how he felt?
Yeah, why would tell him?
You did that. Yeah, I apologize.
You did this to me.
Well, it sounds like I have been twice, and it just sounds like this was just a really banner year. Because I will say, even if there are some movies that we dislike more than others, or you know, just weren't as wild about than others, I think you'll agree with me that this by far has been one of the better years for movies in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Especially even when you're thinking about last year, which
maybe
just seems like we didn't have as many. I mean, I still think Nomadland is, I really like that one, but I still think in other years that movie wouldn't even get the recognition it did because it felt like a smaller film to me. And I feel like because there weren't as many options, which is great because it's like movies like that deserve to be recognized, but it's just funny to me that I think, you know, all of the movies from last year were movies that kind of bubbled up because of circumstances, which is cool. But I feel like this year, I don't know, it's really diverse too. Even though I do think that there are a lot of writer director films, like Mike Mills and, Kenneth Branagh and even like I was thinking
Jane
about
Campion.
Yes, and to a degree like Wes Anderson. But there are like
a natural reaction.
Yes. But like I was like, oh, there are a lot, or even like Maggie Gyllenhaal. There's just a lot of like same, if I could think of one theme for this year, it'd be like same director, same writer.
Makes me think if, you know, obviously not all of these films were made during the pandemic, but I think a lot of them were. It's really interesting that, you know, that first half of the pandemic where people were isolated, it really got their creative juices flowing and they sat down like Kenneth Branagh. I know he really took the time to hammer out that screenplay during the pandemic and then decided to make it during the pandemic and use, as you've mentioned in one of your reviews, which I totally agreed with, used the pandemic, the unique circumstances in filming to frame the story in certain, in interesting ways. Like some of the characters are separated by walls and windows and that's for pandemic purposes or for safety reasons, but it really works in the film.
I didn't even think of it as safety reasons. I thought it was just a unique thing. But now that you bring that up, that's really interesting. That is even more interesting because I just like the way he used that. If he did use it for pandemic purposes, that's even more interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
I have to say when Jason and I went to the movies yesterday, I saw the second Belfast trailer, which was the one that said, you know, won the audience award at so-and-so at the Toronto Film Festival. And there are two awards daily quotes in the trailer. And the first time I was like, oh, look, it's an awards daily quote. And there weren't that many people in the theater. And then the second time, Jason very loudly was like, it's your website!
Oh, my God. You really can't take him anywhere, can you?
He falls off stuff, he breaks shit.
He shouts loudly at theaters. Like,
okay, granted, he learned that part from me, so I can't really blame him for that.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you screamed openly in your office looking at a picture on Twitter?
I've seen him scream at movies a lot, too. Like the end.
When West Side Story, the trailer came out for that, I screamed when that came out. No, I remember when we went to go see Vanilla Sky, I can't remember what I said. Megan will probably remember. But
I know exactly what you said. You said, can anyone explain this movie to me? And the old couple in front of us were like, we didn't understand either.
Betty when and Joe Fox.
The only time.
Did you say Betty and Billy Fuckface? I'm sorry. Sorry. Go ahead, Clarence.
I'm sorry.
The only time I screamed openly in a film, which is not that frequently, because about 20% of the movies I see, I fall asleep in, was Insidious. In the scene where the ghost is standing behind the baby's crib, with that mosquito netting that's over it, screamed like. If you were Southern, I would say hollered, and you would fully understand what I meant.
Oh my God.
That was,
I would have loved to have heard that.
Oh yeah. It was, I was so embarrassed.
That just means you're really into the movie.
It's an intense film. It's a really intense film.
That's one I still need to see. I haven't seen it.
we thought about watching it for Halloween. My son wanted to have some a horror movie marathon this weekend. So I ended up curating the films, and we watched all of the, many of the Platinum Dunes remakes of the horror classics, like Texas Chainsaw, the Friday the 13th remake, and the Nightmare on Elm Street movie, which is a really terrible movie.
Like the one with Rooney Mara, the new one?
Yeah, Jackie Earle Haley. Okay. Nothing in that works. Nothing really? Works. Yeah. It's not good. Texas Chainsaw Massacre holds up really, really well with Jessica Biel.
I was obsessed with that trailer in college. Yeah.
I don't remember you being obsessed with any. Oh, wait. I kind of remember. Is it like, where is it showed them like on the back of a truck or something?
Yeah.
It's all the camera shots, right? It's the ching. You know, yeah. Is that what? Yeah. Like the old fashioned camera with the flashlight.
I'll have to rewatch the trailer now and remember, because Joey and I are typically obsessed with the same trailers. So.
So any closing remarks from Savannah?
No, it was a lovely time. It was it's a great festival.
Such a stacked lineup.
Yeah, it was just like fun getting to see movies. And I realized that my last trip that I had literally the last trip that I went on before the pandemic was to Savannah, and this is my first major trip since. I don't count when I was in Indianapolis because I was only there for 24 hours, not even. But this was it's kind of funny that I'm I've only been to Savannah in the past 2 or 3 years, which is funny. Not a problem.
No, not a problem at all. All right. So as I mentioned at the top, we were going to freeform on some movies that some of us have seen recently. I know at least one of those is Last Night in Soho, which, Megan, you have not seen. We're going to hold off on Dune because Megan is going to see that this week. So we're going to come back to Dune maybe next week. What else were we going to talk about?
Joey and I could talk about the French Dispatch too.
That's right,
yeah.
That's right. All right. So we'll settle on those two. And no one wants my opinion on French Dispatch, particularly for those of you who were following me on Twitter earlier this week.
I do want your French Dispatch, but you didn't see it.
I refuse. I can't. His movies are not made for me. I am not engineered to like his movies.
Oh, they're not made for me either, but I did try to go in with an open mind. I did try, is what I want to say before we talk about it.
Okay. Actually, why don't you two go ahead and start with that one? I'm very entertained by this.
Yeah. Joey, do you want to kick it off, or how do you?
Sure. So French Dispatch, Wes Anderson's new movie, it's basically about an American newspaper. I thought it was a magazine, newspaper in Kansas.
Yes.
And it's sort of it's told in about three vignettes. About journalists doing some stories. That's a very crude, interpretation of it. Well, I guess the Searchlight Pictures says, brings to life a collection of stories from the final issue of an American magazine published in a fictional 20th century French city. It stars Benicio del Toro and the whole cast, whatever. So the whole thing is kicked off because Bill Murray's character dies at the beginning. And so the three stories, the first one,
it's the final issue.
It's the final issue.
Because according to Bill Murray's wishes is that as soon as he dies, the magazine ends.
The whole thing ceases to exist.
Yes, which is basically wow, you're putting a lot of people out of a job over your death. The newspaper business, the magazine business is already, dying. Why do this to people? But they never really go into detail about did he start it? I can't even remember how it was. There's a lot of information. It's like an exposition dump throughout the whole film. But yeah, they do have three vignettes with the first one.
Well, I guess technically there's four with the one with Owen Wilson. Being a cycling reporter. He's, cycling around the town of Ennui.
Tell me that's
right. I know that is the name. That is the name. I know.
The second one, which is probably my favorite.
It's my favorite, too.
It's called The Concrete Masterpiece. It stars about a disturbed artist played by Benicio del Toro, who is serving a sentence for murder. And he paints nude portraits of a prison guard played by Léa Seydoux. And he has sort of a relationship with her. And then another inmate played by Adrien Brody is an art dealer who's also serving.
Is he an inmate? I thought he was just somebody who found out about his stuff and he wanted to.
He was serving for, I think it's for tax evasion.
Okay, I couldn't remember. I forgot about that.
So he becomes interested in his work and sells it, but he gets out first.
And
the whole thing is narrated by Tilda Swinton, who I thought was really funny. I didn't really like the second or the third and fourth story, Revisions to a Manifesto with Frances McDormand and Timothy Chalamet, or The Private Dining Room of the Police Commissioner.
Even the vignette that you and I like was confusing because it's first told through it's written by Tilda Swinton's character, but she's presenting it at an art exhibition.
She's
giving
a talk. Yeah,
she's giving a talk about it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which even though then it's like a story within a story, because doesn't it start out with somebody at the dispatch reading it out loud, and then it goes into it switches to Tilda Swinton's voice.
And
Angelica Houston also narrates parts of it too, doesn't she?
Yes, I forgot that I think you heard her voice for, she is listed as the proofreader.
Yeah, she does the beginning, and then that's what made it confusing, because then Tilda Swinton jumps in and it's like, who's talking? whose voice is this?
Yeah.
Where am I?
So the third story is Revisions to a Manifesto, told by Frances McDormand, where she is talking about a student protest breaking out into the streets of ennui. That soon boils over into the chessboard revolution. She starts fucking Timothy Chalamet. And the last one is sort of who tells that one? That's the one by Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright is a journalist who's telling the story of a rich boy who gets kidnapped and the sort of madcap way that he is rescued.
And do you want to guess what section this story belongs in? That's the funniest part.
What do you mean?
Do you remember what story the section is in the news, in the magazine?
No.
It's in food and wine.
The food section. Oh, that's right. The food and wine section. Because the whole thing hinges on something with a chef.
Yeah, it's I forget what happens. That it's just a lot. I almost feel like each of these vignettes would have been better as just one movie, each one maybe.
I like some of his movies. I was obsessed with The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, I love The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, I love Fantastic Mr. Fox. I like Grand Budapest Hotel. It's sort of I don't know how I'm going to fall when I watch Wes Anderson movies. Am I going to be like,
how white are you?
Yeah. Or if am I just going to be just I don't want to walk out of the theater and get on my bicycle made out of, expired trumpet parts and go home. That's not what I expect.
Has that happened in a movie? Because I feel like it has.
In my life. No, it's sort of just I guess to a certain extent I understand why people like him, but I sort of don't. If I was do you like him or don't like him, I would say I don't like him, and I say this for every movie that I don't like. The problem that I have with his movies is they are so rigidly structured and so rigidly shot that most of the time it doesn't allow for any spontaneity. And I think that lacks honesty. And I can't get into it. That doesn't mean I'm like that for the entire thing. I think there are certain things in this movie that I thought were really fun and clever, but when you're switching from it's black and white, it's color, it's cartoon. I was just I'm an old man yelling at a cloud. I'm just I don't just tell the story. I don't,
it's all very calculated. I think it almost doesn't seem like it could actually happen, which maybe is why people like it, because it is this sense probably of fantasy. Like
what his point is, though.
Yeah. But I also felt like watching it, I'm like, this is just McSweeney's stories, like that I'm not smart enough to laugh at. Or I just
think there's also like I feel kind of dumb watching his movies too. Like I feel like sometimes like, and I don't like when some people are just like, oh, well, you just didn't get it, and I was like, okay, you're just gonna be intellectually superior to me. All right, fine. That I just don't want to watch a movie then. Whatever.
Yeah,
it's fine. I think there's a lot of things in it that are very admirable. Like the design of it is really beautiful. I think Jeffrey Wright is fantastic.
Jeffrey Wright's a nice player to play with that group, I think, because first of all, his voice is just like, he has a great speaking voice, but he also kind of adds something different to it a little bit, but he adds something different without standing out too much, which I think is what you need to do in those kind of movies. You've got to have like the rat-a-tat, like everything. Here's what he did. Here's what he had for dinner today. This is what he does every day. You know, you have to kind of like, it's very expositional, like, and you gotta kind of mesh with that.
There's something a little bit calming about him in this movie. Like, I think there's something about him in this movie that kind of, I felt like I latched onto him immediately because, well, one is Jeffrey Wright. I saw this and No Time to Die in the same day, and he's in both. And so is Léa Seydoux, and so is Christoph Waltz. He's in all three of them.
That's so funny that Léa Seydoux's in that too.
Yeah.
Or is it Seydoux or Seydoux?
I think it's Seydoux. Clarence would probably be able to pronounce that better, but there's something about him where I was just like, oh my god, please save us, Jeffrey Wright. I thought that he was like the piece, or he was. I thought that he like maybe just the way the calm way that he talks. I thought he just like cut through all of the twee. I just thought he just cut through it all. That's all. But it's fine. So, I'm glad you like it. If you like it.
Yeah. Tell me this, though. How is it that he continues to get away? I mean, I know Jeffrey Wright is in it, but how does he get away with such a white cast in this
Wes
day
Anderson?
And age? Yeah.
I mean, I think he's – I mean, I noticed a lot of people were talking about that more and more this time around. That is a good question. I don't know.
I personally
– There's some Asian characters in it, too, so.
Okay.
That doesn't give him a pass, but
I feel that he should be able to cast who he wants, but you know, it's interesting that there's such a conversation about that, and yet he never gets mentioned that I know
of. He gets like, it's not something that they're like gonna like hold his feet to the fire over, I feel like it's just kind of like, oh, you do, like almost like, well, Woody Allen pre being canceled, which I think he was always canceled. But I feel like for a while there was like, oh, white people in a Woody Allen movie. You know, it's kind of that kind of joke where they weren't going to be like, put more people of color in your movie, Woody. Now they just like quit making movies, Woody. But I feel like it's kind of like that, kind of like a joke, but not taken seriously yet. But you're right. I've kind of wondered.
Well, according to just what I see on Wikipedia, his next movie, the only people of color that I see on the list are Jeffrey Wright.
He's in.
Let's see who else. Steve Park, who was also in this.
Adrian Brody's in it too.
Adrian Brody, that's right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, all right.
Is Tom Hanks in it? I thought Tom Hanks was doing something with Wes Anderson.
Yeah, he is. Cast is, you know, his usual players, but like Margot Robbie's in it, Bryan Cranston, Scarlett Johansson, Jeff Goldblum, Hope Davis, Tony Revolori, who was in Grand Budapest Hotel. He doesn't really have any lines. He plays like the younger version of Benicio Del Toro in this one. He's in, his new one is called Asteroid City.
It's already filmed, right?
I think they just finished it.
Yeah.
It says, all it says about the plot is it has been described as being, quote, larger than most of other Anderson films. What a great plot. Yeah.
All right. So, best picture?
No.
I still need to see Grand Budapest Hotel because I have heard that that's one that's like more accessible than other ones. I think this is just – if his fans like it, good for them. I just felt like that I would have liked to have seen the vignettes split up. Like, I would love to see a whole thing just about Benicio del Toro and that whole storyline. It was so all over the place that you're like, by the time you're like into something, you're like, oh, we've moved on and we're not going back.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's to each his own, to each their own, I guess I should say. Not going to fault anybody for liking it, for sure. All right. Anything else on that one?
Now.
Oh,
I was gonna say, I was waiting for Joey to do his meow with me.
All right. I think you two were a little out of sync on that one.
We were very out of sync.
It's 1 week off and you're just all, everything has fallen apart.
Yeah.
What has become of us?
But I want to hear about One Night in Soho. No, wait, Last Night in Soho? One Night in Soho. Last Night. One Night in Bangkok. I'm just going to completely change the name.
Last Night in Soho. I should stop multitasking. Last Night in Soho. Edgar Wright's new film starring Anya Taylor-Joy and Thomasine McKenzie and Matt Smith and Terrence Stamp and Diana Rigg. Excuse me, Dame Diana Rigg. It's been described as a horror movie. I would not say it's a horror movie. It's also been described as an independent film. It's definitely not an independent film to me. Thomasine McKenzie plays a girl in the modern day, although by the first 10 minutes, you would not know that she was in the modern day because her world is all about the 1960s. She travels to London to participate in to go to school for fashion. She doesn't quite fit in. You should also know that she is sensitive in terms of paranormal activities.
Okay.
She eventually ends up experiencing 1960 through the guise of Anya Taylor-Joy. Now, this is all you see in the trailer. There's a couple of twists in there, so I won't spoil anything. I thought the second trailer spoiled a lot for me, but it ended up not spoiling stuff, so that's really great. It didn't do very well at the box office this weekend. The critics' grades have been mediocre. I had a really great time. I think, it's so funny that people praise Wes Anderson so much, but show me the themes and the substance that he's working with and show me that he doesn't do style over substance. But sorry, Megan, you were going to say something?
No, that's true. I really like that idea because you're right. They always are saying he's so deep and stuff, but really his stuff is just kind of surfacey. And I mean, not that that's anything bad about that, but
But to me, Last Night in Soho is definitely an exercise in style over substance. I mean, it's almost like an old Hitchcock thriller throwback, maybe something like Frenzy in that vein. I had a blast. I mean, the first hour and 10, 15 minutes, something like that, is fantastic. It is wonderfully directed. The sense of the 60s, the cinematography, the costumes, the production design are all flawless. Absolutely flawless. Just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant start to a movie. It does not keep that pace up. And there, it becomes a little bit of a detective story, a little bit of investigation after that point. And, it's not as original. In the last, what would you say, Joey, 30 minutes?
I would say that I'd agree with you. Like the first hour is I was so hypnotized by the first hour. I think we're underestimating the editing of this movie. Like I think the editing is really clever. I'm not sure like what is editing and what necessarily is visual effects. People who know more about editing would know that more than I do. I think like if you split up in three parts, the second half gets a little funky, but I think the third it gets sort of back to that like craziness that I can almost sort of forgive the second part. Like I felt kind of, because I saw it last night and I felt kind of like self-conscious even saying that I liked it, because I know people are just like, it falls apart, it's garbage, blah 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 blah, and I'm just like, I had a good time. It's a fun movie, it's fun, it's nostalgic, it's sort of like,
thrilling. I love how like dark it is. I sort of like the kind of you know, political commentary in it. I read a New York Times article about how he came to write this story and how he brought on, oh God, I'm forgetting her name, Christy
Wilson Cairns.
Yeah, she
wrote for 1917.
Yeah, so Edgar Wright had an idea for the story, and when he started collaborating with her, like it turned the story into something a little bit different, and I think that I just think it's fun. Like, I think it's fun. It doesn't, like, I don't know if it's just, I think Clarence and I were talking about this a little bit. It's sort of, like, it doesn't have to be all so serious, like, reactions to stuff. I don't know.
Do you also think it's because it's, like, original? Like, and that's kind of exciting, too? Because I feel like that has been my new litmus test for movies, where it's like, it's something fun and different, and it's not a reboot, and it's not a remake, it's not a Marvel movie, it's not a superhero. I just find that very refreshing when I see like movies like Queen Pins, that comedy, which Clarence, if you haven't seen it yet, you still need to see it. But it's just fun. It's just like mindless fun, and it's different and original. And like, it just, I don't know, I just enjoy those kind of movies. Maybe the bar is lower now because originality is, you know, I value that a lot.
Yeah, there's something about it that, like delightfully schlocky that I like. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I do think, I was telling Joey this after I saw it. I do feel that, and maybe it's because of where it's placed in terms of the film calendar year, but I do feel that people have forgotten that it's okay just to have a good time at a movie.
Right.
It's okay for a movie to not be the best picture of the year every film that you see. It's okay for a movie just to be an exercise in style and just to be fun and not aspire to win Oscars, you know. And again, maybe it's the fault of the film or the company releasing it to put it into this time of year, because it, you know, inevitably anybody will have that kind of, or to have it premiere at film festivals because it's always matched with, you know, the Oscars and stuff like that. I just am with Joey. I had a tremendous time. I was hypnotized by the first 30, it's the first hour
or so too.
Yeah.
So I do want to see it. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said the acting is all very, very good. Thomasine McKenzie is very good. Anya Taylor-Joy doesn't have, I mean, she's a bit of a cipher, but she works. It works well. So
there is something about Anya Taylor-Joy's character. There's something about, I don't know, there's some, maybe it was just like the last couple, you know, scenes that she was in the movie. It's sort of, I don't know, you are so drawn to her. I don't know if it's, you know, people always talk about, like, you know, how like beautiful and, like, you know, she has those big eyes, and there's something about very alluring about her. And I feel like this is sort of a case for, you know, the presence of her to sort of become like iconic and stand the test of time in a weird way. I don't know.
She's brilliantly used in the film. Her body features are so well, are so used to such, her eyes are used to such great effect.
The way there's like a couple of scenes, there's a couple of montages where she's like dancing at a club, and there's something about, you know, you can tell when someone is young and they're put into a period piece and they don't know what they're doing. Like they clearly just learned it to do it. There's something about her, like she like embodies sort of that. There's a confidence that character has, and that character knows who she is and what she wants so clearly that it's sort of just like, oh yes, I no wonder Thomasine McKenzie became obsessed with this girl. I would be too, looking at her. And no, she did not deserve to win the Emmy for Queen's Gambit.
And the other thing we haven't mentioned is the music, and the music in it is, you know, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just all these great 60s songs. And of course,
something I'd really like. I do want, you guys have made me want to see it more.
Like it. Yeah. I want to see it again. I want to see it again now that I've seen it once. I really dig it, man. I don't know. It's just.
This will be definitely one of those movies that when it comes on TBS, I will stop what I'm doing and finish it.
Interesting.
And that's that's
put that on a poster. I do like that.
Well, you know, I mean, I know it sounds like damning with faint praise. I mean, praising with, you know, what is that phrase? Sorry, I'm damning with faint praise. But no, I mean it. I mean, it's a very entertaining film. I would want to watch it multiple times.
Well, now I need to see it.
Cool. I think you should.
Yeah.
All right. What other movies did we want to talk about? Or is that it? Did you guys want to talk about Passing?
It's been a while since I've seen that one, so I don't know how much I'll have to say. It's not as fresh in my head.
We can talk about it. I mean, it comes to Netflix, I think, on November 10th. I don't know if we want to revisit it like then or what, but...
Okay.
I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah. I probably should rewatch it. I had to watch it very quickly for an interview that I didn't get to do, but I should rewatch it. I should revisit it.
Me too.
Okay. What else you guys want to talk about? We're breezy.
I don't know if I have anything else.
All right. Well, Joey, you got anything else, or can we move on to the flash forward?
Clarence, did you watch the... I just want to say I watched the new Paranormal Activity movie.
I did not.
I think it's kind of fun, but it is also sort of... Man, those characters are dumb. and the other sort of scary movie that I watched for... Because it was Halloween yesterday, I watched Army of the Dead, and I wanted to kill myself. That movie is quite easily my worst... Probably my worst movie of the year so far. I don't.
Wow.
I hated that thing. Wanted my time back. I guess the visual effects are good, fine, whatever. Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ.
It's it dropped and nobody was talking about it.
You know they made a sequel.
Which one is it?
It's the Zack Snyder one, which is it's the one that's set in Vegas where they assemble a team of people to get $200 million out of a safe. That's in Vegas, but Vegas is like a zombie like hotspot. So it's about all these people, and there are actors in there that I love. Like I could stare at Raul Castillo from Looking all day because he's beautiful. But dear God, I couldn't even thirst over any of these people. How dare you, Zack Snyder? And there, and then spoiler alert, he dies. They made a sequel to it that came out this past week. Which is about one of the characters who, spoiler, he also dies. He's a safecracker, and they decided to give him his own spin-off movie directed by the actor who played him, and it's about them, a different heist with a different set of people when the zombie apocalypse starts. That was called Army of Thieves.
Is this the one that they had Tig Notaro? Where
yes.
They? Okay, I got it. That's what I thought.
So they took out Chris D'Elia?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
All right. Interesting. All right, let's move to the flash forward to the media that we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, why don't you go first?
Sure. I watched all of The Shrink Next Door, which drops on... Friday drops the first three episodes on Apple TV Plus. It stars Paul Rudd, Will Ferrell, Katherine Hahn, and Casey Wilson. It's based on a podcast of the same name, which is based on a true story where Paul Rudd plays a shrink in the 80s in New York, and he manipulates this sort of sad sack Will Ferrell manipulates him. It's starts off really, really good. I would say the first four episodes are excellent. I was really riveted by it. I didn't so much... I wasn't as into, the next three, and then the final episode, I was totally down with it. I think Katherine Hahn is fantastic in this, and I think that Paul Rudd This is unlike anything Paul Rudd has ever done before. I would say he's sort of like a slightly comedic Thomas Ripley. I'm going to be saying that phrase all season, so I'm sorry. But I think he's great in it. So I'm excited to see that again. And then Dickinson comes back on Friday for its third and final season. I have screeners for it. I haven't watched it yet. But I think it's kind of crazy that they're going to have two seasons drop in the same calendar year. Because the second season dropped in February, and I loved that too. So I'm looking forward to watching it, but I'm also really sad that it's ending because I actually grew to really love that show. So yeah, that's it for me.
Megan?
So I need to see Dune. And then I have a book.
Dune.
I need to see Dune. I need to catch up on The Morning Show because apparently crazy shit is going on there.
Yeah,
I read about that.
Yeah, so I need to catch up on that. Curb Your Enthusiasm is back, and I watched the first episode, and I thought it was really funny. Oh, I need to catch up with that. I missed the second one, so maybe I'll do that. Insecure, I need to catch up on that. And then I also have some books that I want to read. I'm catching up on the Theranos podcast, the Bad Blood. Is that what it's called? The one about Elizabeth Holmes, which is really interesting. And then the books I want to get this one called Cultish that I was reading about or listening to about on the A Little Bit Culty podcast featuring the Nexium, Sarah Edmondson, and Anthony A. Nippy. They do a podcast together. Oh, so gosh. I thought about getting that book. And but I also, in the meantime, have College Admissions, that book, The Scandal, about with Aunt Becky and everybody. So I thought about reading that too. I think that's it. And then until November 15th when 1,000 Pound Sisters comes back. So I'm excited about that too. Yeah. Oh, and Survivor. I got to catch up on Survivor. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that was on.
Yes. Back in it.
I never watched network TV.
This is over. Sorry.
For whom?
For Megan.
Oh. Wait, what do you have? What's going on?
I have to ask you a Drag Race question when this is over.
I haven't watched any UK.
It's not good.
Okay.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
There isn't any really TV that I'm looking forward to this week. I tried to comb through things, and it's probably getting, and I was going to ask you, Joey, if this has happened in your house yet, but it's probably getting holiday movie season. We'll probably be watching Nightmare Before Christmas at some point, since we have a running argument in this household as to whether or not that's a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie.
His transition movie.
There you go.
Transitions from Halloween to Christmas.
I can't wait to use the pun. Is he transitioning yet?
yeah.
Bad pun. Movie-wise, streaming on Netflix starting Wednesday the 3rd is The Harder They Fall.
I'd like to see that too.
It is a really interesting Western. It's made by a first-time filmmaker, James Samuel. I have an interview dropping as you're listening to this podcast today with the cinematographer. It's filmed unlike a lot of other Westerns. I mean, of course, not every single scene is brand new, of course, but it's shot in a very different way. It's lit in a very different way. The color palette is incredibly different. It's a revisionist Western in a lot of ways. I really enjoyed it, and it's got great performances. So I do recommend that one. Friday, The Eternals.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I will be going to see that this weekend. I am prepared for it to be awful because everything I've seen about it has been awful, but I'm going to go in it with an open mind. I really am. I really, really am. So there's that. And book-wise, I'm listening to finally finish the Leanne Moriarty next Nicole Kidman miniseries book. That hasn't been greenlit, but I'm sure it's just a matter of time.
Every time you say Every time you say that, I just imagine Nicole Kidman standing in a grocery store going, apples! What I imagine happens.
So I finished that book, and I started Paula Hawkins' new book. Paula Hawkins was the Girl on the Train. This one is called A Slow Fire Burning. And so far, it is a very slow fire. But I'm sure it will pick up very soon.
A crackle.
Put a log in there, Clarence.
I know Spencer comes here this weekend, so I'm definitely going to see that.
That's right. It opens nationally.
Maybe we could talk about that next week.
We can.
Yeah.
Joey, get ready to cry, to experience all kinds of emotions, to have a nuclear meltdown.
And most importantly, to dance.
What if I just like get, when Diana just starts dancing, I just like get up and start twirling around the theater? How soon would it be before I get kicked out?
I don't even know. We'll talk about it. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I do have comments on that sequence.
We haven't talked about that one at all. I mean, I know your initial reaction to it, but very excited to talk about that one. I've seen it twice now. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms contributors, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a most pleasant tomorrow.